y'all pray for us. We Gary had asked me to sing, and I was going through some CDs and stuff of where I used to work with the youth at Rich Acres last night, and you know, I miss taking our youth to places where people can get the enjoyment of God from them, you know. And I'm waiting for the day, and I know Jackie and Angie and Dan, Sam, and everybody that works with them is ready to get back out, you know, because they're a blessing. But I was going through some things, and we were sitting there last night, and I was trying to sing this song, and Sarah was looking at me, and I said, "Why don't you do this?" And so she joined in, and Jacob was sitting over, and like a little lost puppy, and I said, "Well, why don't you do this?" So ended up, we come up with a trio. I'm just going to call them Dennis and the Ledford. So, but no, it's a, excuse me, I can't get my iPad to work here. But y'all pray for us. We just want to be, you know, it's not us up here. It's blessing the Lord. So don't look at us, you know, look to Him. Y'all pray for us.
Thought that was for me to sing. That's getting ready to run out the bag. Amen. I don't know what I brought that for. Well, good morning. Welcome to Marbleton Free Will Baptist. Good to have you in this Labor Day weekend. You have your Bibles this morning. You want to turn with me, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Didn't they do a good job? Truly bless my heart. I tell you, it was such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Sarah's let the cat out of the bag. She can sing, can't she? Amen. This morning I want to share a message and on building the church. As we Labor Day weekend and thinking about labor and time off and, you know, getting to relax. But there's a process going on that's happening. And the Lord's building a church. I want to talk a little bit about the church. We've been talking about his coming again and some things, the last series of meetings, services that we've been having. And this morning, I just felt like that he wanted us to talk about still in the process of he's building his church. And I'm thankful this morning to be part of the church of the living God. I'm so thankful of what that he has done in my life and in my family's life. And wow, if it wasn't for the Lord, there's no telling where I'd be today. And I'm thankful for the difference he's made in my life. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I don't make mistakes. But I'm a saved sinner, though. I've been forgiven, and I'm thankful for that. If you would, stand with me. Matthew chapter 16, we'll start reading it. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but thy Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. We thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for everyone that's watching on their device this morning or will be. Lord, we just ask you, Father, that you would just minister to us in a special way this morning, that you would touch our hearts and help us to realize what we are a part of when we are Christians. And Lord, that we are the church. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I ask you to bless this time. Lord, that you would anoint the old preacher boy. And Father, forgive me of my sins. If anything could hinder me from being used, I pray you would take it away. And Lord, I know I'm unworthy, but I ask you to make me usable. I pray you'd touch my vocabulary. Help me not to say anything untrue. Lord, that you would touch my mind. And God, that you would give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, illuminate my thinking. Father, have your way today. I pray that you send a preacher. Lord, that you would minister to your folks today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this took place at Caesarea Philippi. It's kind of a retreat. The other places in the Gospels talk about it. They probably was there a week. And this was named, this area was named, there's two places called Caesarea, and this was one, and it was named after Caesar. But then Philip, King Herod's son, Philip the Tetrarch, was the king and really done a lot in there, so they put Philippi to. So this is the place where they were. And in Luke 9:18, it talks about they had spent some time away, and they had got away here. And the Bible said they spent a time away, and that Jesus was praying. And in his ministry, a lot of times, Jesus would get away and pray. And you know, this morning, as I was studying this and thinking about this, that sometimes, my mom used to have a pastor, used to say, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. And sometimes we've got to get away. We need to get away and kind of kick back and think a little bit and pray and spend time. Jesus would pull away, and he'd pull the disciples away, and they'd get up in the wilderness area, and they'd get out away from everybody else and just pray and just relax and enjoy time. I think Jesus enjoyed spending time with the disciples, just them alone. Because when you remember when they were the Lord's Supper, he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. This been one of the greatest things I've ever wanted to do, was spend this night with you before I go away. And he likes to be with his people. He likes for us to get away. And if we're too busy to take a little time and get away with the Lord and spend time with him, then we're too busy. Amen. You ever been there? Lots are right now, probably. We're busy people, aren't we? Now, I've got one finger out and four back. Because I know I need this. We need sometimes, and the Lord, and this is no word, and I'm getting off on a rabbit trail, but God's taking me there, so I'm okay. But we need sometimes just to get away, just to pray, just to unwind. I remember one time, this was several years ago, and Rhonda and I had... We were busy. And we got a job done that we had to get done, and we had a week off on our vacation, and we got to spend 3 or 4 days away. Like about Wednesday, I think we got to go. That's one of the most beneficial vacations I'd ever had. We didn't do nothing. I can't even tell you where we went, but I can tell you this. We went to the beach, I guess. I can tell you this, I kicked out of gear and I laid back and I enjoyed it. And that was one of the most refreshing times in my life, that I just got away and just allowed the Lord to minister to my body, minister to me. And I'm afraid sometimes in the world that we're in, we're so busy and we're so wound up and we're pulled so many ways that we don't have time for ourselves. Amen? We got how many? I don't know if you're like me. I told Rhonda one time, I said, I'd just like one person to call me and say, can I come help you do something? Because I've got drywall over here, dude. Can you come? Do you do drywall? I'm kidding. I'm blessed. I thank the Lord for that. But how often do we get away and pamper ourselves? And just what? It's something that you like to do. Something that you like to do as a couple or as a family, and that you enjoy, and you just take a little time and back off, and be sure, don't leave the Lord out of it when you do it. And he'll speak to you through those times, and he'll encourage you. We see that he done that with his disciples. You think he loved them any more than he loves us? I don't think so. I believe he loves us just as much as he loves him. And if we'll give him opportunity, he'll meet our needs. He will, if we'll slow down enough, I think he might have trouble catching me sometime. If I could catch him, I'd bless him. Amen? And how many's in the same boat? I mean, this is the world we live in today. We've got so many things to do. And here that I didn't mean to hook up here at long, but the Lord just led that to encourage you that sometimes we just need, if we just take a few minutes and get away and pray. You know something that really would give you a few minutes of peace? Let me tell you how to take 2 hours of peace. Turn your cell phone off. You wouldn't hear that annoying sound, would you? Or turn the television off, or just get a peace and get away with the Lord. That didn't cost you anything extra. Of course, we know this is Labor Day weekend as we recognize the labor, American labor movement. The first Monday in September is Labor Day weekend. But then here, as they're on this retreat, as they're away in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus then starts telling them, revealing some things. He reveals his death and resurrection. Then in verse 16 is Peter's confession. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I don't know if anybody had boldly proclaimed it like Peter had up to this point. John the Baptist maybe, but Peter said specifically who he was and pointly said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Christ promises to build his church in verse 18. And he says, "I will build my church." Now, this is a statement that's caused a lot of confusion. There's a lot of different beliefs about this statement. And I won't touch them all, but there it goes a long way on this statement. When he said, "Peter, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And I'll get into that a little later on. It's a question. I got three questions, and it's a question. Questions that'll help us clarify this statement and this passage. And the first thing I want to notice in verse 18 is the first question is, who is building the church? Who is it that's building the church? And Jesus said, "I will build my church." Jesus is building the church. There needs to be a memo sent around the world to a lot of people and say, "You're not building the church, Jesus is." I'm afraid a lot of folks think it's our job to build the church. It's for us to do. No, it's not. The attendance, that's not my responsibility. It growing spiritually is not my responsibility. It's my responsibility to be faithful in what God's called me to do, to preach the gospel. That's the job that the Lord called me to do several years ago, to preach the gospel, to love people. Preacher Cutshaw told me when I come over here to preach, he'd been pastoring, he pastored 37 years one church, but he'd been pastoring. He said, "Go over there at that church and love them people and preach to them." He said, "Don't you change a thing for a year." That's advice, Preacher Cutshaw said. After a year or two, he said, "You can start working on some things that you all think you need to work on, but go over there and preach to them and love them." And that's pretty good advice, wouldn't you say? And I followed it, and you know it's worked out pretty good, hasn't it? That's what God's called me to do. It's His job to build a church. He'll build a church as He sees fit. He'll send the people as He sees fit. He'll take us to where He thinks we ought to be. But now there's a key in that. We got to be faithful into what He's called us to do and be. But Christ builds the church. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, the Bible says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives increase." Amen? God does the work. He's the one that will give the increase. I'm thankful. See, it's taken me a little while to get a grip on that. I thought it's my job. Amen? And let me tell you something. When you think that the results of what you do is up to you, you're going to be a miserable person. Amen? It's not, the results is not up to us, it's up to God. He's in control of it all. We just do the work. It reminds me of a story I'd heard of a little woman, and her husband had passed away, and she had 7 or 8 kids, and she's worked herself to her hands to the bone and worked day and night trying to keep that family going. And a neighbor asked her one day, said, "Every time I come by or come over here, you're whistling, you're singing. If I had all this on me, I'd go crazy." She said, "I made a deal with the Lord. I'd do the work, He could do the worrying." Said, "And it's worked out pretty good." Amen. If we leave all that other stuff, the technical stuff, up to Him and just do what He's called us to do, be what He's asked us to be involved where He tells us to be involved in the Word of God, be involved in the ministry, be involved in teaching, be involved in reaching folks, be involved in everything that you can get into. When I counsel young married couples that they married, I say, get you in that church and get busy and get involved in the things of God and get involved and do what God's call you to do. And guess what? I give that same advice to elderly couple. Amen? It'll work out too, won't it? Get involved. Be involved. Be involved in everything that the church does. See, He calls it His church. He said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I will build the Free Will Baptist Church. I'm not going to build a different denomination church. I'm building my church. Glory, hallelujah. I won't be part of His church. I'm afraid that some churches that He's not even welcome in anymore. I won't even be welcome here because I want to be in His church. And I want Him calling the shots. I want Him in charge. See, and the church is built upon Christ, not Peter. Now the wording here, the way it goes, and some has really went away with it, got carried away. Thou art Peter. That'd be about like me saying, Ray, and then carrying on with the conversation. He mentioned Peter, but Peter's not part of what he's talking about from our own. He was recognizing Peter as being there. Thou art Peter. The Lord spoke to you, Peter. God revealed this to you, Peter. He called his name. The Peter is Petros, and it means masculine. Now the word rock, in that right over said, upon this rock is Petra, which means stones, and it's a feminine. And they say, of course, I'm not a Greek, don't know Greek, but they say those two words don't intermingle when you use the masculine and the feminine. And it's two separate words. It's not the same word. He said, thou art Peter. Thou art the rock. Thou art the Petros. But upon Petra am I going to build my church. What's that? Upon the testimony that Peter had given that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. There's where it comes in. It's upon that testimony. Have you got that testimony this morning? That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is the rock in Scripture. The psalmist rock in Psalms 18:31. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? In Psalm 62:2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Jesus Christ is the rock that the church has been built on. Not Peter, not no other disciple, not anything else, but Jesus Christ, period. Amen. And if you make it to heaven, you'll make it through Jesus Christ and nothing else. You'll not make it by being a Free Will Baptist member. You'll not make it by paying your tithes. You'll not make it by coming to church every time a door's open. You'll not make it by being baptized. I've heard it said that you could be baptized so many times that the tadpoles know your name. That still don't make you a Christian. You go in a wet center and come a dry center and come out a wet center. It's the decision that we ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and come into our hearts and change us. And then that's the way that we become into the family of God. Paul's rock in 1 Corinthians 3:1, the Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 10:4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Even in the wilderness, Christ was with them. Christ has been, always has been, always will be, and is right now, and it's all about Jesus Christ. I was told when I started preaching, I don't care where you go preach, I don't care what church it is, just get in the pulpit and get to Jesus as fast as you can. You know, and I've preached that everywhere I've been, I've never had a problem with it yet. Amen. And then Peter's rock in 1 Peter 2:7, the Bible says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Jesus is the foundation of the church. The disciples was laid on that foundation. The early Christians, they were laid on the foundation, but the foundation that was laid and the beginning of the church and the way when you start building, what's the first thing you do? You dig that foundation and you pour a foundation. And it better be deep enough and it better be wide enough. And you want it level. That's all good description of Jesus, ain't it? What's that little song, "Deep and Wide"? Amen. See, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, Jesus is alluding unto a man that's followed the commandments and do right. He said, "I liken him unto a man, a wise man that's built his house upon the rock. And the winds came and the rains came and the house stood firm." When you have struggles in your life and you go through hardships without being built on that foundation, you start coming apart. You start coming apart at the seams and things. But when you're built on and your foundation is Jesus Christ and you've got it settled and you've sold out to the Lord, and then when the hard times come and the wind's blowing, that house will still stay there. And you can make it through the rough times. And we've been through rough times in our life. And I didn't even know if we was going to make it. But we made it. We hung in. We held on. And I encourage you. If you haven't, if you're young, no matter what part of age that we're in, make Jesus your foundation. Build everything else around Him and up on that foundation. And I'm telling you, it'll stay there and it'll never move a bit. We looked at who is building the church. Now I want to look at what is the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." The church is made up of saved people. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 3, the Bible says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the mountain, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church, and of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. The church is made up of saved people. That is, you can be a member. You can be come and be all you want. But until your name's written down on the roll, until your name's been written on the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not a member of the Church of God. Again, it don't matter what you do. It don't matter. But you better be sure that your name's written down in the Book of Life. You better be sure that you've come to a point that you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you and to cleanse you, and that you live in obedience to His Word and His will. You know, you get to talking to the people and you'll ask about church and say, just so happens that it'll come around lots of times and I'll say, are you a Christian? You ever been saved? I've been baptized such and such. I've been a member of the church down here such and such. I even had a superintendent on the job one time and said, I've been a Christian my whole life. And I said, I said, I don't know about that. He said, my last name's Christian. I said, okay, I guess you have it. But all these other things don't matter. All that matters is you've asked Jesus to forgive you and come into your heart, and you believe in your heart that He has and will, and then we confess that. Then we can start following His will through the baptistry and other ways, but it is made up of saved people. The church is the body of Christ. In Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things might have preeminence. Are we functioning as a body? We are the body of Christ. This world, most all they'll ever know about Jesus Christ is what they see in me and you. We are the Bible that some people, the only Bible some folks will ever read. We're His body. We are to carry His will out in this life and do what it is He's wanting done. Well, let me ask you a question. If we're the body, then is His hands reaching out? Is His feet walking? Is His voice speaking? Is His ears hearing? Is it accomplishing the goal and the will that He has? Are we maneuvering and working and part of the body, the position that we have? You might say, well, I don't like the position I got. Well, see, He knows best. He knows what we're good at. Preacher Cutshaw told a joke when I first started preaching. It was a boy couldn't sit still in church, and he's always rowdy and doing stuff, and said the Lord made a preacher out of him. Then he laughed and looked at me. He said, I think that's what He did to Brother Tim. God will use what we're good at. You know, what if the ear in the body said, I want to be the mouth? Why can't I talk? That's why He gave us two ears and one mouth, wasn't He? He wanted us to listen twice as much as we talk. Is the body functioning well? The church also is to bring glory to Christ. In Ephesians 3:1-21, the Bible says, and to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Our purpose, and if we'll do this, our purpose is to glorify God. And if we'll function as the body of Christ in the right way, then He'll be glorified through what we do. Amen? It'll bring glory and honor to Him. And when we meet, and like this, our first goal ought to be to glorify Him and put Him first and lift Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And if we'll lift Christ up and put Him in His proper position, He said that, what did it say there in that verse in Colossians? That He might have preeminence, that He might be the number one, that He's above all. He is all in all, and He's my all in all. And are we putting Him number one and above all? When somebody comes and visits in this church, do they hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the only way, and He's the greatest, and we ain't nothing? Amen? He is to be exalted. Are we glorifying God here at Marbleton? Is He receiving glory and honor because of what we're doing? How we're doing it? That's a thought-provoking question, isn't it? The church is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5:32, the Bible said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." This is a passage where he's talking about the husbands loving wives and wives being submissive to the husband and he said, "I speak a great mystery, but I'm speaking of the church. We are the bride of Christ." Let me ask you something. You fellas, I'm going to ask you, say this. What if, and it be either way, either spouse, what if we treated our spouse like we treat the Lord? Where would a relationship be? What if we didn't talk to him? What if we didn't talk to our spouse for a week? It'd be a little trouble, wouldn't it? What if we neglected what they'd ask us to do? What if we paid more attention to somebody else than we did our spouse? What if something else had our whole thinking and we was more hung up on that than we was? See, we're the bride of Christ. We're the wife. He has given everything up for us. And we ought to be, He ought to be number one in everything. He ought to be, have preeminence, that everything else is second, third, and fourth, and on down the line, ever how you want. But I think the number one thing is our relationship with God ought to be number one thing. Number one priority in your life is where you stand with God. If you don't hear anything else, that's the number one thing that I believe we all do. Number two thing is that we all take care of our families. It ought to be, the Bible said, man don't take care of his own is worse than infidel. So we ought to take care of our families. Keep our family together and keep them and encourage them spiritually and take care of their needs. And then the third thing, I think it ought to be the church. Ought to be involved in the work of the church and involved and dedicated to the Lord through the service in the church or whatever. But I am big on the local church. I think God set it up that way. And I believe that is the goal that He has and the way we ought to do. Not only are we the bride of Christ, the church is built out of living stones. 1 Peter 2:5, the Bible says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." See, Peter was a stone. Jesus was the rock. Is the rock. But Peter was a stone. The disciples are stones. We're stones. Stone speaks of individuality of believers. That we are lively stones built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Are we lively? involved and excited? Are you excited about the things of God? Are we excited to get to tell somebody about the gospel? Do you get excited to get to come to church? Do you get them more excited when the preacher says amen at the end of the service? See, no two stones are exactly alike. And we're built uniquely for individual purposes, and the uniqueness of the church, and God uses us in different things. Not everybody sings. Not everybody preaches. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Whatever it is, God's got a purpose and a reason for us, and He set it up that way. All right, I'll try to get finished. We've looked at who is building the church, what is the church, and then the third one, how secure is the church? Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Boy, that's a big statement right there. I don't think any other institution or any organism can make that statement except for the church. As long as we stay in Him, there is nothing can overthrow us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the gates of hell will not prevail. What is meant? Have you ever thought, what is meant by the gates of hell? Or we think about hell enlarging this, eating us up? Or this was a statement that was familiar figure of speech in that time. You remember, and you can even Lot sat at the gate, and the cities had gates, and the leaders of the cities would sit at the gates, and the business would be handled, and things would be done at the gate. That was important. That's like kind of like the courthouse or something. It is the gate is where that it all came about. And when the battle was sent out, and the warriors and the army or whatever was sent out of the gates, it was the gates there that all the armies were sent to battle from the gates. And gates of hell symbolize, and Jesus was using that, the evil forces that's coming against the church. He knew what we would be coming up against. He knew how Satan would fight the church. There's two things that, Brother Todd, I'm sure, oh, amen, is. It's two things that I've seen that Satan fights harder than anything else. These are the two things that God has ordained, that is the marriage and the church. If you're involved in either one of them, the devil is going to get you, going to be after you, and going to try to drag you down and stumble you up and drag you down to hell, because he don't like family and he don't like the church. God set both of them up. See, in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, the Bible said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against the rulers of evil spirits. There is a spiritual world out there. And if we don't open our eyes and think that, we'll get eat up by it. He's organized. And the wording of this, that there's different powers and different levels, and he's organized. If you want to do something and overcome something, the first thing to do is get organized. The devil's organized against us. He knows, he studies us. They've been given power. Rulers of darkness of this world is ones that the devil uses in this world to accomplish his will, that has yielded themselves to him. You might say, I don't know about that. Well, what do you think about Hitler? What do you think about some of these others that done stuff, and the devil's been able to use them, and they have fought right directly against God, have fought against everything that means good, fought against the church. Sometimes it's even come in the way of religion and has killed Christians. Jesus knew of the attacks of the church, the martyrs, the persecution. But I want to tell you something. The church is going to stand. The church will not be overthrown. Jesus said all these attacks, all of this stuff, all of this mess that'll come against you, it's going to come, but you're going to win. You've already won. We've already gotten the victory. And you just hang in there, because when all these things come out, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. In Malachi 3:17, the Bible says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." When I make up my jewels, that's us. When he comes and gathers us and takes us home. Isn't that a blessed thought? Do you ever think about heaven? Ever? And I tried, you know, and it must be pretty amazing. The Lord said even in our imagination we can't imagine what heaven is. I've got a pretty wild imagination. And it says that still, it don't come close. Praise the Lord. One day. See, we're laboring now, but one day our labor is going to be over with. We'll be called in to glory. What a glorious, glorious day. I want to ask you in closing, are you a part of the church of God? Or are you a part? Or have you asked Jesus, is Jesus the Savior of your soul? Have you asked Him into your heart to forgive you and to take you to heaven? And are you building your life on Him? I'm afraid a lot of we've thought through the years that, boy, once we get it nailed down, that's it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of works, but 2:10 says then, but we are His workmanship, created unto good works. And we are to build our life on Him. Everything that we do ought to glorify Him and be in His will. Are you doing your part in the church? And I don't mean this church as much as I mean the universal church. Do you stand against evil? Do you live for the glory of God? Does your co-workers know your testimony? Does your neighbors? Amen. We are His church. And if anybody hears the gospel, it'll come through the church. Amen. And if a gospel be hid, it'll be hid to them that don't believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day and Your many wonderful blessings.
We're thankful, Father, for this weekend, and ask You, Lord, to help us have some time of relaxation, enjoy our families, enjoy time. Father, we pray as the families will be getting together, God, You just bless. And Lord, anoint and touch everything. Just bless those hamburgers. They'd be the best this weekend they've ever been. Lord, that You just help us as believers. Lord, help us, God, to have a retreat of sort like You did at Sister Ray Philippi. Father, that we would be encouraged by being around our family and other believers. Lord, we'd be encouraged by being involved in the work of the Lord. And Father, I'm encouraged and thanking that, God, that You